is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, we are back. Welcome in. 1-800-920-1140-339-1140. You go to YouTube.com/KHDK. It is good to be back. I'm Dave. That's Jay.
That's me.
It's good. It's okay to be back.
How about above average?
I get the whole love your job, get back. And there are good things about it, but let's be honest. Do I wish, in retrospect, I was, driving? By the way, the whole driving back on a Tuesday, back at work on a Wednesday thing is just weird.
Yeah, that sounds like it's for the birds. I'm not going to lie.
I should have
just done 2 weeks.
I should have. I should have just stayed out. I feel guilty. I mean, I know your life didn't really change much over the last 10 days.
No, you don't matter. Practically the same person.
But, it throws everybody else off, like Matt George.
No, it does throw Matt's day off. Poor Matt. Because Matt has to, after this show, do production till like 3 or 4.
Yeah, well.
So he, putting in long hours.
Yeah, sucks for him. Maybe if he was more talented.
I like how it goes from I feel bad to sucks for him.
I don't feel bad. Oh, I heard the end of the show.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Why don't you make a triple down video, Matt? Maybe that'll get you a show.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. Whoa. I mean, when you're, known mostly for what should be a parody song, which is actually a song in truth.
That song still gets comments to this day. When I'll log into like YouTube and I'll get a notification, it's usually a comment
on
that
when
song.
You know you've done a good job. If it's still relevant.
Oh, it's evergreen, man. It's evergreen. That song is evergreen.
That song is the living embodiment of Old Takes Exposed musical. Like, if there's ever a Broadway show, that's going to be one of the songs.
I guess my favorite part about it is, like, everyone who comments clearly cannot see the,
The what?
The fact that it's not that serious, that it's a joke.
It's not that serious, but let's not change the narrative.
Oh, no, the narrative's still bad.
Matt was serious about the thought behind it. As far as we don't need Luca, we need, Bagley's our guy.
Bagley was balling out when that song was made. Is that song the downfall of Marvin Bagley 916-339-1140?
Oh, did I? I think I wasn't I gone for that too? I missed the whole Marvin Bagley, it's my Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had fun with that one.
It's my Twitter.
That was enjoyable.
I can like what I wish.
It's yes, my you Twitter. Can. I can like if I want to.
Go
like
ahead.
Like if I want to. I love it too if the trade is for you. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. I was in Oregon yesterday, dude. It was like 64 degrees.
Should have stayed there.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
All right, just a little preamble here. Joe Varden is a reporter who had a rather testy exchange. Testy on Greg Popovich's side with the Spurs head coach and also head coach of Team USA. Here's Varden talking about that.
Greg jumped in and started to address me and the question that was not directed at him. And it goes back to a much calmer, I guess, exchange. Not that that was, wild or anything last night, but a much calmer exchange we had after Nigeria when I was asking about basically American exceptionalism when it comes to basketball after, they had just gone through what was arguably the largest upset in international basketball history. The spread was 29 points and just asked what this meant to him. But Dame Lillard wasn't available after that Nigeria game. And so, and they didn't practice the next day. So there's no media availability then. So this was our one bite at the apple to ask other players what this is like. And then Coach jumped in and started, down that path.
Mm. I know I'm supposed to have an opinion and take sides on this. I don't know. I think it's entertaining to watch Greg Popovich mess with people, just like I thought it was entertaining when David Stern did it.
Yeah, it's entertaining. I don't feel like he was really messing with Joe. He was kind of being a you-know-what about it. Like, yeah. I got Popovich's point, but Varden's question was more than fair.
I don't have a problem with the question either. But Bill Belichick, Greg Popovich, David Stern. You know, I'm here for the snark. But I think there was a little more than the snark there. I think there's some frustration. And
a lot of frustration.
Listen, the people that are freaking out about those losses. And yeah, the U.S. beat Argentina, but don't stop freaking out about the loss. When they lose in the Olympics, then call me.
Here's what I said. Like, don't freak out about the losses. The USA is still the gold medal favorite. It just goes to show, though, they can be beat. And that's really just how you have to look at it. Also, yesterday in Argentina, holy Luis Scola, Batman.
Hey, I like Luis
Scola. When did he become just this Adonis?
Hey, man, he got a tonal.
A little turned on.
Got a tonal and dieted. We work out together.
And a haircut.
Real quick, though, to your whole, it shows this team can be beat. Can I put an asterisk on it?
Of course.
It shows this team can be beat in an exhibition game.
They can't. Well, twice in a row.
Again, losing the Olympics, wake me up then. Because, and this... This you can call this pompous American all you want. Mm-hmm. I look at that roster, and then I look at the other team rosters. I'm not saying they won't lose. I'm saying get to the Olympics, beat them, and then call me.
Can I put a double asterisk on that?
Yeah.
That was the same attitude us pompous Americans had in 2004.
Dude, do you want to compare those rosters?
I mean, that roster was pretty damn good.
It
you should look
as
it
good
up.
As this one.
I mean, LeBron James is a good player.
He was fine.
Carmelo's fine.
Carmelo.
Allen Iverson was
Carmelo
good.
Carmelo arguably better than LeBron because it's Olympics.
Is that how we're rolling with that?
Carmelo Anthony might be the best Olympian.
Oh, he's the best Olympic basketball player of all time.
All right. Number three.
Soundgarden.
Only two,
I was
actually.
Wrong. Period. Oh. There's no excuse.
All right, hold on. You're right. I skipped.
Oh, you can go to Stephen A.
I don't want to go. I want Stephen A. to be last. That's my fault. Here's Buddy Hield.
After that bubble, they turned around, and I think Monty did a great job with them. You know, the bubble, they went 8-0, I think. You could sense there was a new direction and a new spirit was going in their direction and the movement they had.
That's Buddy Hield talking about the Suns.
Buddy Hield's gotten really good at the PR game over the last year or so.
Oh, has he?
Did you hear any of his stuff yesterday?
Yeah, when he was talking about starting, sitting, and all that.
He's
gotten much better. And he also addressed the Marvin thing a little bit, too.
He did, and I thought he did a good job of handling that whole interview with Chris Haynes.
Period. I agree. It was a fine interview, and I heard you guys talking about him yesterday. It's very difficult to not like Buddy. Off the floor and his attitude. There are things he does on the floor that are extremely frustrating, but... Buddy Hield also may be the only player on the Sacramento Kings that is elite at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Find me somebody else who's as elite at anything positive.
I was going to say, I can go to negative stuff. Because if you want to talk about negative elitism in defense, boy, I have a conversation for you.
All right, now let's get to number three.
Soundgarden.
I was wrong, period. There's no excuse. This is not ESPN. This is not Disney. For a lot of people out there going off about Disney and ESPN, no. This was me. Wasn't Max. Wasn't Molly. Wasn't the producers on First Take. Wasn't the bosses. It was me. I said it. And the reality is that I was completely clueless as to the kind of impact that this would have on the Asian and the Asian American community. That was not my intent at all.
Stephen A. Smith has comments on interpreters and Shohei Ohtani. Also went on in what was about a five-minute apology to address his comments on Team Nigeria and their very difficult to pronounce names. Which, by the way, when I saw that live, too, and I did see it live, I was like, you know, this Giannis guy's last name's not that easy to pronounce either once upon a time, and now we got it.
Yeah, it's called taking the time to learn the name.
We're going to talk about this the bottom of the hour. But I thought a lot about this over the last couple of days. First off, I thought it was a good apology.
Yeah, he owned it.
And by the way, I hate that we're in the business of grading apologies.
We kind of have to, though, because there's been too many apologies over the years that I'm sorry, but, you know, it's always that. I'm sorry, but.
I'm also tired of the inconsistencies. I don't know who's going to get away with this and who's going to get fired for that. I have no idea. I'm tired of trying to compare the things. Well, if this guy, you know, that's the big thing. Well, if this guy had said, if Max Kellerman had said that, he'd be fired. Okay, well, the implication there is that black people can say things like that and white people can't. I don't know that that's true. I don't have the receipts. I don't have examples. I will say this, depending on the infraction, obviously, if you're a, if you're a radio host, TV guy, or whatever, and you pull an Al Campanis, well, people of color don't have the capabilities of being in management. You do something like that. That's see you later, skater. But I'm generally in favor of, hey, the guy screwed up or the girl screwed up. Apologize, own it, and now what are you going to do? And net, we're in a better spot because now that person on their platform is doing more for ABC cause.
Right.
But I don't know what you it's where's the wind blowing? What's going on here? You know what I'm saying? I saw, I won't get into that, but anyways, I want to talk about that though, because I want to talk about what I think he might have been trying to say, which I think is actually an interesting topic and not what he fumbled over. Also, Jeff Van Gundy. Was this a thing? Did you guys talk about this?
We didn't talk about JVG, but I know
what he
about.
Said.
Yeah, I know what he said.
I really want to talk about that, too, because I don't understand it, and I need help on that. I truly need the handbook, man. I really need. And by the way, when I was talking about not wanting to come back, that weighed on my mind, too. I'm not one of those cancel culture guys. Cancel culture, stupid. No.
Well, some cancel culture is also the most overrated thing I've ever heard of in my
and
life.
And some people need to be canceled. Like, sure. I get it. But I also, like, I want to do the right thing. It's just sometimes I need to know what today's right thing is, because a month ago it was not the right thing. And it's exhausting, and that's fine. That's my struggle, and I'll take that struggle. But damn it, like, give me a newsletter or something.
A handbook.
Because the whole Jeff Van Gundy thing to me, I did not understand that at all. All right. I do understand, however. I don't even. That's like the worst transition
ever.
Yeah,
it just gets to the spot.
Right? Like, we're talking about, like, serious things. I'm going to go into
transition into a car commercial.
I don't want to do that to Holly. This is how I will transition. I have never, ever, ever appreciated Hoblit more than when I was on vacation. I was on the Oregon South Coast at one of the hottest fishing towns in the world. And the amount of trucks I saw towing boats. I got to talk to Chad Hoblit and say, hey, man, do you think you might franchise up to Oregon? Because everybody had a ram up there. I get it. It is awesome. And right now at Hoblit, you can save up to $5,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorns with Laramie. It's up to $3,500 off MSRP on the new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500. Plus, 2.49% financing for 84 months. And that is thousands in available savings only at Hoblit. On the new 2021 Ram 15, 25, and 3500. Over 30 Challengers of all types. Available along with the SXT with the blacktop package, GT Scat Packs. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. Tons of brand new 2021 Rams arriving each and every day. JD Power Customer Service Award winners for excellence. See the full selection at the Hoblit Ram Truck Center or HoblitDodge.com. No hassle, no pressure ever up at Hoblit. Best prices, best selection. Yeah.
That was nice. Coming up next.
All righty, three for madness. The all-star uniform. Social media didn't like them. What did you think? The Angels, they picked a no-hitter in the draft yesterday. Man, it was a perfect game. We'll talk about that. And we'll get back to the whole Kings Ben Simmons thing. What is the best package the Kings can offer? We'll have fun with that. We'll invite you to do it, too, coming up right after that.
1, 2, 3. It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right. Coming up at 8:35, Jay Mars booked a fun guest for you. Casey Pratt, ABC7, the Bay Area, has been all over the A's saga. We said earlier with that vote coming next week, they're $500 million apart, but I don't think that matters. They've already got a trip to Vegas planned, the A's do, Dave Cavill, like the day later. Oh, is it the day later?
Two days.
The A's are gone, and that sucks, but it'll be official, maybe, because I could see this. I could see, like, the term sheet passing, but it's not binding, and then that just extends it. if
I think that's exactly where the direction yeah. we're heading.
It's like, dude, it just
you think that's false hope?
Put it out of its misery.
You think it's
They're
false
going
hope?
To Vegas.
Think yeah, Oakland. Oakland's old yeller, and you got to take it out back.
It's Oakland. the Warriors gone. The Raiders gone. The A's right behind them. It's Oakland.
Maybe we get an XFL team.
There you go. Well, they have the Oakland roots. My guy Benny was a part of the founding of their soccer team. I can tell by your blank stare you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what the Oakland roots are. Isn't that the they're in the same league as the Republic?
Yes.
That was a really good guess.
Great guess. Three for Madness.
I miss Benny.
Question one.
MLB used league-designated all-star uniforms for the first time since 1933 last night. Were you a fan of these?
So my answer is layered because no. Just like I'm really not a fan of the Giants fog uniforms.
Oh, God, those
Dear
things.
Dear Lord.
We talked. Matt liked them. I said, how of do you like Matt one of the most them. Hideous of uniforms he. Of all time?
It's something. Literally, my daughter could have done
the
better.
The fog in the bridge.
It's just.
Hey, dude.
It's embarrassing.
They're going to be better than we said the Dodgers when they released theirs, which is going to be smog and traffic brake lights for the traffic.
Where they'll only have, like, the middle part of yep. the number because you come late, leave early.
It just says Aja.
Yeah. Right. Listen. Oh, and the colors. Red is not part of the Giants.
No, it is not.
Okay. White, black, orange, gray, fine. Red, no. Anyways, no, I did not like the uniforms because I didn't like those uniforms. But
those uniforms were trash.
I am a fan of having all-star uniforms. Mm-hmm. And here's why. And I'm not the big jersey guy like everybody else is, but we see their team uniforms already. I like the idea of having a separate uniform for the all-star game.
So you're okay
but
with the idea
right.
of breaking the tradition because, again, since right. 1934, yes. baseball players wear their team uniform in yes. the all-star game.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't mind having a designated uniform per team. It just has to be better than that trash
just
they rolled out there
great.
Last night. Oh, my gosh.
And you know what you could have done that everyone would have loved? Make them simple. Make them awesome. And make them like 1930s style.
You know what?
Now, Jay, put them out there.
In flannel.
Even if it was just faux flannel.
In the middle of summer.
Dude,
why not?
The high stirrups, dude, the whole thing.
Could you imagine if they were still playing that game, let's say, in Atlanta in those jerseys and in Georgia summers?
Dear. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I liked it. And the NBA used to do this way back in the day.
Right.
Is I like having the jerseys designed after who the home team hosting is. So have... You know, your National League and American League jerseys, but in the style of a Colorado Rockies jersey.
Right.
That's cool to me. It represents where the game is being played. It's a special uniform. You got to get it right, though,
because those get
things
it right.
were just trash.
It's not that we don't like the idea of all-star uniforms, just those
were
all-star
trash.
Uniforms. Number two.
Question two.
The Angels selected 20 pitchers in 20 rounds of the MLB draft. Clearly, they understand pitching is important. So why not just sign a good one?
I don't know. I don't know what the Angels are. We've talked about this
Dude,
before.
20 pitchers in 20 rounds.
You have the best player of this generation, Mike Trout. You have a player having the most insane season mm-hmm. since Babe Ruth.
You've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on Anthony Rendon. He's hurt.
And by the way, again, was gone yesterday. The fact that you have a guy that participated in the Home Run Derby... Then went out and started the game for the American League and then led off as the DH.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that's kind of weird that you lead. I mean, I get it, but you're a DH even though
you're a PDH.
In the field, but yeah. Like, I'm so glad that we're really getting there as a sports world because Shohei Ohtani deserves everything and then some. Everything and then some. But the Angels are just. It's like I want to go down there and protest for them to release these guys to other teams. And I hate that, except the Angels aren't a small market. Like, I will protect a small market and say no, even though they suck, like the Kings or the A's who don't suck. But a smaller market, protect those players and protect those teams. But in the Angels' case, they have all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously have done some right things because they have Ohtani and Trout. Rendon was a free agent signing, but... But my God, I don't know.
Ohtani was a free agent signing, technically.
Right, that's true. By the way, how many teams are kicking themselves they didn't? I know Shohei Ohtani looked great on my Giants.
Please see answer all of them.
Yeah.
Right. Dodgers made a big run at him, too, and he chose the Angels.
Can I also add, speaking of your Dodgers, how great it is that for the second time in less than 10 years, the Oakland A's have drafted Max Muncy.
Yes. Yes.
And how weird it is that it's two different people and how much even weirder it is that they have the same birthday.
I think it's great.
I think it's great. And I hope it's incredibly strange.
I hope Oakland does better with this Max Muncy than they did the previous Max Muncy.
Yeah. Well, why should you? You're a Dodger fan. You should probably hope they do the same exact thing. You
yeah,
end
that's
up with
true.
Two Max Muncy.
That's a good point. No. Can't have more. You can't have enough Max Muncy's.
Number three.
Question three.
The Kings are reported as one of four potential suitors for Ben Simmons. Rank in order the teams that can put together the best package for Simmons. The Kings, the Pacers, the Wolves, the Cavs.
I would say Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Barely Cleveland. Sacramento and then Indy.
You think Cleveland could put together a better package than the Kings?
I think if you offered up Colin Sexton, their first this year, and I'm assuming that all future firsts would be the same, but
they're picking third, if I'm not mistaken.
They are,
second,
I believe.
Third,
second,
right?
Yeah. And third, I believe.
So the three, Sexton and Love, for you got to fill salary.
Right. For Simmons. To me, is better than Fox, the nine, and what?
That'd be Fox and the nine, really.
Sure.
And a little filler.
And a lot of that's because of the pick. Now, Fox is clearly better than Colin Sexton right now. But no doubt about it, and probably always will be. But that three is also far better than the nine.
That Kevin Love for 2 years, though.
I get it, but that's going to end up being a buyout anyways. Or by the way, let's remember what era of the NBA we're in. Kevin Love will probably average 15 and 10 for him next year.
Yeah, you're right. Kevin Love will magically play in like right. 70 of 82 games right. next year on a good team.
But Minnesota could throw out there. I know the salary wouldn't necessarily work, but Minnesota, if they wanted to, could throw out Carl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell in their first. Kings can't.
They don't have a first.
Oh, that no.
Warriors
no.
have
their
first.
No. They're first in 2 years. Not.
Oh, they're
yeah,
23.
In 2 years it would be. Not. They can't do next year. Cause
yeah, I mean, really, I mean, I think even if they started with Russell and Edwards, which they wouldn't do.
No.
But that would get the Sixers' attention
well,
big time.
Of course it would. But you think the Sixers don't pull the trigger for Cat and Russell?
Why it doesn't work financially.
No.
And
the
Wolves
would have to throw whatever.
Sure, and the Wolves would be out of their mind.
I agree, but again, it's rank.
I get you.
The deals.
No, I get you.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All righty then, let's talk about this. The first off, halftime, we'll get to that. Also, at some point, we got to talk about Conor McGregor. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna shoehorn Conor McGregor into the Stephen A. Smith conversation we're gonna have later.
Okay,
I'm gonna make that part of it for an actual reason. We'll talk about Rob Manfred's comments. Oakland, a dead team walking. We'll do that next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of them, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
We had a show meeting. Show meeting before I left. Good to be back. Good to be back. And I said, Jay, while I'm gone, I want to refresh everything. So I'm going to send you a bunch of songs and rejoiners.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I didn't forget. I just didn't do it.
I didn't think you forgot. I just know you just
didn't. Yeah, I didn't do it.
Trust me, I'm sure you thought about it multiple times while away.
I actually did. I'll get that to you here.
Maybe the next couple weeks.
Fine. I feel like we're on a deadline. I put a self-imposed deadline, which I believe means we can self-move it.
Hey, when it's self-made, it can be self-moved, and I'm sure there's more self-references there. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Also, you know, because it's the first day back, not only is it the first day back from vacation, I did do this on purpose, because if you're going to work, I think this is the first time I have worked this day. In probably 7 years, it just worked out like that.
A Wednesday or July 14th?
No. Not that, when I say this day, I'm not referring to the date, and I'm not referring to the day of the week. I'm referring to what you'll nod your head at here shortly when I say it.
Oh.
This is the worst day of the year for every sports talk radio host. It's a day they joke about. This is generally when you listen to radio shows, sports specifically, usually the main host hosts whatever. Usually they're gone right now. It's not the day before, in which you have the home run derby and blah, blah, blah. It's not the day of, in which you have the all-star game. The day after the baseball all-star game is generally considered the dead zone for, that is the center of the dead zone, much like we do with summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
You work your way to the longest day of the year, which we had a couple weeks ago. And then every day thereafter shortens, shortens, shortens until you get to the winter solstice. It's the same thing in sports talk radio. And the NBA aside, because it's a little bit different this year because we have an NBA Finals game tonight. But historically, this is the, you don't have the Olympics coming up, except every 4 years. You don't have the NBA Finals. This is generally considered the worst day for sports talk radio of the year. I like to call it the sports radio solstice because every day after now, we get closer and closer to the pennant race. We get closer and closer to training camp opening up, NFL preseason, and then we get to the prime of sports talk radio, which is pennant race, football, basketball, hockey.
I think basketball, and I know they're not going to, and I wish they would, adopt what they did this last year.
I agree.
Start everything totally on Christmas
agree.
Day.
Totally agree.
Go into mid to late July. Start free agency at the beginning agree. Of August. I mean,
totally agree.
Then we have summer league in the middle of it.
100% with you.
Take September off. Boom. But October, November, we can speculate about things.
I also don't know how much of me wants that to happen because of my job.
Nah, but here's the thing. I think because of the job, it actually works out well because there's more content in the summer, whereas football, you could have the fall all day.
No. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you that I want the NBA to adopt that schedule, but I'm saying I don't know how much of the reason I want that to happen is because it makes my job easier as opposed to is that truly better for fans?
Oh, I think it is.
But I don't know.
I'll tell you this, right?
Because ratings aren't reflecting it. And we saw this last year, and I know things are different. It's going to be years of analysis. Nobody knows what they're talking about right now. But is there what people are working very hard on right now in think tanks around the country? They're trying to find out how much of, for example, last year's NBA drop-off, how much of that is politicization? How much of that is it? But how much of it, if any, is fans like sports at certain times and don't like it at other times?
I believe that does play a part of it, to your point. However, it's the idea of, you got to retrain the audience, right? And I think if you really look at it from just that perspective, like, I think you could retrain that audience to, you know, watch basketball in the middle of July.
I'm not saying you're wrong because, again, nobody knows.
It's difficult.
I'm not saying you're wrong, and I'm not saying you don't have a good point, but I will throw this out. There is a reason why in human history, Friday night and Saturday nights are considered dead zones for network television. Mm-hmm. And they've tried. They've put quality programming on, usually programming they don't realize is quality. And then once they realize it, they move it to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday evening.
Yes.
Because no matter what they do, people don't watch television on Friday and Saturday nights. And if they do, it's usually sports. They're out and they're about whatever. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I am saying I don't know that people can be trained because I don't know necessarily if people want to watch the NBA in the summer when they're vacationing, when they're off, they're camping, they're doing this and that. I don't know what it is that's habitual, and I don't know what it is that is situational.
I think it's a little bit of both. The only way, and here's the way I look at it from the situational standpoint, is I would rather go up against baseball in the summer than football in the fall.
And that makes perfect logical sense. But I also think the reason why baseball is there, it's 162 games. You can do that. People can throw baseball. You can't really have basketball on in the background. It's not the same because there's half the games and they're shorter, or they used to be. And don't you kind of have to pay attention to basketball more than baseball?
Yes and no, but like any other sport.
Especially playoffs.
You can really tune in the fourth quarter. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but any sport, you can do that. You can tune into the last three innings.
But you're talking about a meaningless baseball game in the first, third quarter, sure, half of the season versus, timing-wise, what would be a very meaningful playoff NBA game. It's not the same watch.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I completely agree with you. I just meant in general. Sure. You can look at it from that standpoint. And yeah, you're right. And they're not going to make this adjustment because there is a lot still to consume over the last few years of ratings and all of that.
Right.
I just think eventually there is a really good argument to have to make it, you know, play into the summer.
Well, the biggest argument would be that basketball could compress their season to pretty much pick up at or near the end of the football season and stop when football season starts and have everything to themselves save baseball.
And I think, again, basketball is big enough now where you could retrain the outside. It would take a while. You would see decreased ratings because of the habitual, to your point. But I think eventually, especially if the finals features the big stars and the big teams, people are going to watch.
Before we get to halftime, because I really was in a different sort of mood when we started the show today, I do have to mention, I have not mentioned this yet, and we're an hour, or we're over halfway through the show. I did on my first full day of vacation hit my first hole in one, and I just want to acknowledge that and how awesome it was.
Still don't buy it, but hole congratulations.
I had three witnesses.
Doesn't mean it happened.
Witness playing, I had two witnesses at the green, and didn't film the shot.
That's the problem.
But filmed me picking up the ball.
That's the problem. Well, duh, anybody could put the ball in there.
I mean, what kind of a ding-dong, after all the years that I've played golf, would manufacture, and by the way, it wasn't even like a par four or something crazy. It was a wedge from a buck 38, and I swished it. It was the weirdest hole-in-one, too, dude. It wasn't a hit the green, roll in. I heard the crack of the pin. My buddy bear hugs me. I'm in disbelief. I didn't hug him back because I was like, dude, we need to get up there. I'm pretty sure, because it was an elevated green, I'm pretty sure it probably hit the pin and rolled off the green. And if that thing is a half inch any direction, it's off the green. But then we heard the older couple at the green yell. They were leaving for the next hole. And we get up there and they say, yeah, we didn't see it. We heard it and turned around. There's no ball on the green. But until the second I got up to the hole and saw the ball in there, I didn't fully believe it. It was insane. It was all luck, obviously, as all holes in one are. Bought my buddy a drink, bought the other couple a drink at the end of the round. It was a small.
Did you buy yourself a drink?
You know what? And I don't drink.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
I did have myself a, I think it was like a Coors Light and Clamato.
You're so lame.
I am. But
I'm going to buy a drink for a hole in one. I'm going to get a Coors Light Clamato.
There was alcohol in it.
I get that.
There was
alcohol. But come on.
Coming up later.
You might as well just buy yourself a Shirley Temple.
Actually, I got myself a Blue Moon in Clamato.
Okay, that's good.
Coming up at
good comeback. Good save.
And so the tradition is after hole in one, you buy everybody drinks. Well, yes. I got lucky because there was myself, my buddy, there was the older couple, and then there was the guy running he was doing everything. He was checking people in. He was running the bar, all that stuff. So I tried to buy him a drink. He ended up buying our drinks the second round. Anyways,
that's nice of him.
So we start talking. You know, we're sitting there BSing and going over the story and all that. And he goes, hey, where are you guys up from? And I say, Sacramento. He goes, it's interesting. I grew up in Sacramento. I've been up here for about 25 years, but I grew up in Sacramento. I said, oh, really? That's weird. Whereabouts? He goes, Carmichael. It's a suburb in Sacramento. I went to Del Campo.
Did you tell him you've heard of it?
I didn't need to because my buddy freaked out. And I was like, yeah, it's, you know, funny thing about Carmichael. So anyways, we kept talking. Turns out his dad's a huge Kings fan, still up and around here in Sacramento. So shout out to the dad. But listen, holes in one. And then the next day we catch 50 pounds of fish, 50 pounds of salmon.
This is where it just kind of gets, you know.
It was like throwing a no-hitter, dude.
I know. And it's just, no, dude, you're close to perfect game with a hole in one and 50 pounds
of
fish.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Right?
That's more perfect game realm than no-hitter.
Took the ladies out golfing the next day. We did a scramble.
Did you win?
Well, no. We all four played together. We didn't play against each other. We shot 4-under with the ladies. It was awesome. It just
seems too good to be true. That's all I'm saying.
It's why I didn't want to come back. I said, is this heaven? The guy says, no, this is Oregon.
I hate you.
Halftime.
No, it's 7:42. It's halftime today. Let's move on.
Let's play this though.
Not
we had a workshop this week. It was really an identification of how far a gap exists between our proposal, the billions of dollars that we're willing to spend there, $450 million in community benefits, and really what the city council's vision and needs are to vote yes on the project. And so that is a challenge that we would have to overcome to get to a yes vote on our proposal between now and the 20th. But, you know, we're still working hard to see if that can happen. There's, you know, we don't know how it's going to play out. At the end of the day, I think the most important thing is we're going to get some type of direction and closure. So we'll understand what makes the most sense, you know, for the A's.
Well, Casey Pratt, ABC7, is going to join us at 8:30. Ahead of this vote next week, they're about a half a billion off. That doesn't really bother me.
Some change, right?
No, it's not that it's not. Half a billion sounds incredibly intimidating, but honestly, in a deal this big, a $12 billion deal, sometimes half a billion can seem that could be a this thing here and a that thing there and each side with a thing, and then boom, there you go.
How big is the thing on each side?
Right.
You know? We got to really compare things here.
The problem is you have Las Vegas involved. And as Rob Manfred said as well, we haven't even allowed the A's to look anywhere else other than Vegas. There's other interested parties.
Well, and the other side too is because there are some that have looked at the whole Las Vegas situation as a bluff, and Manfred addressed that as well. It's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yeah, it's not a bluff. And I believe. I think the A's are gone and they're going to Vegas. And I would put heavy, 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 heavy money on that. I mean, heavy money, as in, I can't tell you what the exact percentages are, but I can tell you this, in my mind.
Can I ask you this? Are you over 75, 25? Because that's where I'm at.
No. I'm in the 90s.
Okay, you're in like 90, 10. Let's just say that.
It's 90 that they go to Vegas, 5 that they stay in Oakland, 5 that they, well, no, 90 they go to Vegas, 6 that they go to a different place, 4 that they stay in Oakland. Oakland just can't, nor do they want to compete. And now you're going to have a lot of people in Oakland. They're already saying this thing, and they're being shoehorned into a deal.
I mean, they kind of are. But partially their fault.
That's exactly the thing. And you know what? Listen, nobody's going to – we could come on here, and Casey will do that for us at 8:35. There'll be a lot of numbers and a lot of things that are going to make people's eyes roll. Let me try to – analogize this real quick. You're married.
Thanks.
You're married and you've been married for 20 years, let's say. But really, the marriage hasn't been good for 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
But you got kids. They're going to college soon. Financially, and listen, seriously. Married people, hear me out. There probably are very few married couples alive that have been married longer than 10 years that haven't at some point in their marriage stayed in the marriage because of one or more of the following things. Don't want to upset the kids. Want to delay until the kids are gone. Financially, it doesn't make sense.
Nope.
We've got a mortgage. We've got car payments. We have dual incomes. And do I hate my spouse more than I hate the idea of me having to split these incomes, split these households, change my quality of life, lower it considerably, and, oh, by the way, also have to go to the bars, go to the clubs. Now I'm in my 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it may be. So, yes, my husband/wife is a miserable, you know what, but is on the teeter-totter of life, is that worse than the alternative? Okay, I'm going to stick with the better of two, the lesser of two evils.
Sure.
That is the bulk of marriages. So let's go to the A's. I think a lot of people are going to be, in the end, when the postmortem on the A's happens in Oakland, they're going to point to this deal, like you said. Well, they're just getting the deal. Or, oh, they were $500 million off. Or, oh, they were asking for it. This has been talked about for, like, decades. This is not a new thing. This is a marriage that has not been good for a while. This is a marriage that has also lost other suitors. I'm talking about Oakland with the Raiders and the Warriors. Obviously a toxic relationship. And it's not going to be the one thing at the end that was the reason. That's going to be the one thing at the end that was the match that lit the flame on the wood that was had gas thrown on it forever. Yeah, that's what ignited it. But the foundation for the failure of the A's in Oakland, or the failure of Oakland with the A's, that has been laid for many, many, many years. And at this point, it just certainly appears like they have irreconcilable differences. And this vote next week, I think this would, in this analogy that I'm taking way too far as usual, this would be the marriage counseling that oftentimes starts out as legitimate, like, hey, let's at least say we did it before we divorce. But both parties know they're going into the marriage counseling, not so much to rehabilitate their marriage, but to get an exit strategy from a third-party professional so things don't get weird.
Yeah, let's go back to your marriage analogy since we're going to spend a lot of time on that. And it's the idea.
By the way, I see Murph in the chat room. He knows what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
In which regard?
Huh?
In which regard does he know what you're talking about?
Oh, just failure of things in life.
Going back to the whole spouse thing, and this is where Oakland might. This is the only real last string of hope that I am holding on to. Let me tell you, it's a thin string and I'm heavy. So, if that's the case, Oakland might have to look at it like, yo, we've lost the Raiders. We lost the Warriors, right? It might be better just to stick with this marriage for the A's because, boy, if we lose them, we are the.
Talking about Oakland?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't care. That's not, that is, listen.
So what's the analogy play into then?
Because
now I'm confused.
Because okay. You really want to go.
I want to know what the analogy means,
though. Let's really extend that analogy. And let's take the city of Oakland as one of the spouses. That spouse, the husband or the wife, has gotten new friends.
Mm-hmm.
They've read a couple of books. They're not who they were when they met.
Sure.
They're a different person, and they look over at their other spouse and they go, you know, this is not what I want. This is who I was 20 years ago. This is not who I am now. The political landscape in Oakland and in many cities, but especially the Bay Area. And by the way, I'm not trying to get political yay or nay. I'm just laying it out. The political landscape is not let's help out billionaires and do things for them to get stadiums. The political landscape is we have homeless, we have drug problems, we have constant break-ins in vehicles,
right.
Crime is through the roof, and they are far more, they are not a blue city, they are a dark, dark, dark blue city. I'm talking about red versus blue. Normally, politically, it's the more conservative side. It's the more conservative side that is like, we're not financing this. No, remember, less taxes.
I get that. I understand the
whole
analogy.
But there is a special line of demarcation on the blue side. See, in Sacramento, it was the right amount of blue. Mm-hmm. It was the, no, we understand we need this, and we're willing to spend some money on this. We want to invest in our city, and we'll raise a tax here, and we'll tap into. That's the right shade of blue.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the even darker shade of blue, now you get into the uber progressive side, which is like, no. How am I supposed? This child isn't eating.
Right.
And this person has a serious drug issue, as does much of our community. And this homeless shelter. So you, and again, I'm not judging. I'm just explaining. We don't feel like doing this thing with the baseball because we don't care. We want to do other things to our city, to our schools, to help out, and we don't need to bite this off. And oh, by the way, the last thing we bit off like this, we're literally choking on it. It's got a big Raider logo on it, and it's implanted right next to our Adam's apple.
And I get that. And everything you're saying is 100% correct. And like I said, I want to be very clear again. Mm-hmm. This is a small string I'm holding on to. I'm not saying this is it.
Sure.
I just look at it in all those examples you laid out. Mm-hmm. If the A's leave, none of them are changing. And that's where I sit with
You're talking about the city issues?
I'm talking about the city issues don't change if the A's leave.
The
A's leaving is not going to change those issues in Oakland. I'm sorry, that sounds callous, but it is what it is.
I will asterisk what you're saying by saying this. I think with the right leadership, things can change there, but it will not be affected either way, whether the A's are there or not.
Going to what we've said, look at the past. With the quote-unquote right leadership, anything can change.
Correct.
Getting the right leadership, little easier said than done.
Yes.
So I don't see any of those issues changing. If I'm on the city council, it's like, all right, all these issues we need to be addressing, which are completely fair and should be a priority.
Right.
We're struggling here. We can't afford to lose another team because, again, we lose the team, we lose out on a possible economic engine that could help with some of these issues. At some point, if you're the Oakland City Council, and again, I don't think they're going to do this in the long run. I'm being very clear here. You have to look at the situation and be like, all right, there are things in here that we don't necessarily like, but when we're outweighing things, what is best for the city?
Right.
You got to take a risk and take a bite out of that apple. I'm sorry. I'm not confident they're going to do it. As I said,
you're talking about what's best for the city as far as the A staying?
With the A staying,
but what's
the Howard
best
Terminal
for the city
ballpark.
In whose eyes?
I mean, the eyes of pretty much everybody, because listen, everything you said was correct. They're just not addressing those issues. Those issues have been happening just as long as the A's issues have been happening.
So you're saying best for most everybody's eyes that the A's stay?
I think it is best for that city in the majority's eyes, okay, that the A's stay and that Howard Terminal ballpark gets built. And at the end of the day, if you are a part of the Oakland City Council, Alameda County, whatever it is, you have to do what's best for the majority.
Just remember, Sacramento is not Oakland.
Sacramento is not Oakland. I am very well aware of that.
Very different situation there.
I understand that 100%.
I think whole A staying and leaving is a non-starter when it comes to the other Oakland issues. And you have very, very deep issues that we don't even need to get into right now. Not the least of which, it goes through the entire Bay Area. You have horrible leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You have priced people out. You have gentrified people out. And now, by the way, you have this mass exodus because you can remote work, which is why our neighbors are having their home prices go up here in the Sacramento area. Oakland is right in the middle of that whole thing. And whether the A's stay or go, to your point, I agree. It's not going to have an effect. But I will say this. I think from a city council person's point of view, especially with the Raiders in the background, I think they're saying, well, if Oakland leaves, it's not going to increase or decrease the odds of us dealing with these other problems. But if Oakland stays and we enter into this deal, there is risk there that we don't have if the team leaves. And we don't need to do the risk. We did the risk with the Raiders, and we're still paying that off.
Yeah, and the only other risk I would say involved if they do leave, well, now we got these two. We have a football baseball coliseum that pretty much can't be used. We have this arena that can't be used.
I'm not worried
about
that. This
entire plot of land that we have no money to redevelop. We're kind of screwed here.
Not worried about it. No, they're not. That is the least of their worries, because that land is one of their best assets that in a heartbeat can be the city may not redevelop it.
Again.
But the city can sell
it. Going back to the old leadership thing.
And have it redeveloped.
They could do all of this stuff, but boy.
Is that our time? Because we could talk about this all day. Casey Pratt, ABC7 in the Bay Area, who's been on top of this the whole time. And he's a great Twitter follow. Casey Pratt's going to join us at 8:35. In the meantime, listen, I know how hot it's been, but my good friends over at Cinch can help you out when it comes to that propane. Listen, it's not amateur pain, it's propane. And I know you're probably sitting there right now and going, well, hold on, Dave. Hold on. Just hold on a gosh darn minute. Why are we talking about propane when it was 100 billion trillion degrees? Well, I can tell you why. I know I've been gone the last week, but even sitting in my backyard last night, I know it's been cooled down. I got a little breezy, got a little chilly. Remember, propane isn't just for heaters. Your propane tanks are good for your grilling. We said space heaters, fire pits. There's a lot of reasons for it. And the great thing about Cinch is that they'll deliver the propane tanks to your house. Here's what it comes down to. Do you really want to go to the gas station? You want to pay higher prices for propane? Or do you want to go to cinch.com, CYNCH.com? And do you want to order your propane tanks, whether it's exchanges or new tanks, and have a friendly person drop them off at your front door? And by the way, they'll pick up your old ratty tanks too. Use promo code Dave. Your first exchange is $10. Well, that's a heck of a deal, ain't it? Cinch.com, promo code Dave. Cinch.com, promo code Dave. We'll take a break.
Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Mark Stein says the Kings are amongst the potential suitors for Ben Simmons. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee says, hold on just a minute. It's highly unlikely De'Aaron Fox would be a part of that conversation. But let's talk about that conversation anyways. And let's also bring Tyrese Halliburton into the conversation. We'll get into all that, your phone calls, and if we get a chance, Stephen A. Smith's comments and Jeff Van Gundy's comments. We'll dip our toes in that lava pit. We'll do that next.